Hello, everyone, and welcome to another informative episode of the Florida Business Forum podcast. Let's open the Florida Business Forum floodgates and let the information begin to flow. Here's your Florida Business Forum information guru and anchorman, Sam Yates.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Florida Business Forum podcast. And today, I have a very special guest, Greg Batista. He's president of G. Batista Engineering and Construction. And really, this is a multi-talented, multi-business-oriented genius of an engineer, artist, CEO, entrepreneur. And there's so much more to talk about that I'm going to veer away from what is my normal process and procedure. And my very first question is the one that I normally hold until the end of the program. Greg, welcome to the Florida Business Forum. Can you come back for another episode?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's see how hard-hitting and jarring these questions are. I'll think about it. But for now, it's okay.
Yeah, you know, I have been known in the past during my investigative reporter days to somewhat do a grilling, but the only grilling today is the barbecue that we may have later, because you are really someone that's going to take more than one episode to cover everything. So I want to say I'm very glad to have you on the program today. You're a little bit unique because you're in the world of engineering and construction. You wear a lot of, each one is different, but still connected by the man wearing the hat. And for our listeners, you'll see that this interview is going to go in a couple of different directions. First direction, because I'm on the board of directors for the Gold Coast Builders Association. Yes, I do a podcast for that organization as well. And I also do one for the Florida Engineering Society. So those are the topics that I've selected to begin our discussion today. And Greg, let's start with engineering. What areas of focus do you have for Batista Engineering and Construction from the engineering standpoint?
Well, when I started out my business 24 years ago, I was focusing just basically on engineering, which is structural, mechanical, electrical, plumbing. And we used to do a lot of work for different architects and things of that nature. But, you know, I learned the hard way, just getting in there, signing some plans, doing the calculations. If you lock me up in a room, I can design a whole building by myself. But obviously, I'm not going to do that anymore. But I have the knowledge and know-how. But I started first doing mechanical, electrical, plumbing, and structural. So as things started to evolve in the industry, as buildings started to get older and we see a lot more emphasis placed on buildings, on existing buildings being repaired, I sort of shifted, because I am a structural engineer, I shifted my focus away from mechanical, electrical, and plumbing to the structural repair. So my company right now at this moment, we have a special emphasis on structural repairs.
And, you know, I think that fits in quite well in making a transition to the Champlain Tower collapse. 99 people lost their lives in that. A lot of different theories ranging from climate change impacting the underground aquifer to just the age of the building. But Florida legislators have come up with something called SERS, and that is something that means buildings have to be inspected. And I want to get into that in a moment, but your perspective, was Surfside something that could have been avoided?
100%. And it's not, and I can say this because it's not something that I read somewhere. It's not something that I heard on a podcast. It's not something that I saw on TV. This is something that I was intimately involved in. In 2017, I was called out by the Champlain Towers to do an inspection and They had a planter that was right on the pool deck that was leaking water down. And they wanted me to provide them a detail on the waterproofing for this planter that was, you know, leaking down and it was falling on Mrs. Smith's Mercedes-Benz. And, you know, we do this kind of thing all the time. My inspector went out there, my engineer went out there, and he said, and he came back and he told me, Greg, this is not a waterproofing problem. This is a structural problem. I went out there afterwards and I saw that it was a significant concrete repair problem. It was a structural problem. It wasn't a problem that I would that I've seen a lot worse, but it's something that was significant enough to raise some and raise some red flags where I went to the board and I went to the owners and I told them, this is a concrete problem. This is a structural problem. What happened next is I did the repair detail for them. So if you're paying me for this, here's your detail. I went on paper. I told them this is a structural problem caused by lack of maintenance and the whole nine yards. They never called me back. So, it's strange because that fateful day of the collapse, I woke up to the news and I saw that the building had collapsed. And I knew almost immediately, just because of the video that shows that center portion falling first, which just so happened to be the exact place where that planter was located. I ran off. I went to the Champlain Towers where it had collapsed because I felt like horror. And it seemed so strange that as I was walking around and seeing people crying and all the ambulances going back and forth that I knew what happened. And a big portion of knowing what happened was the fact that I told these people. I told these people there was a problem. I told these people that there was a lack of maintenance. I told these people that they're kicking the can down the road if they continue to look the other way and not provide some tender, loving care to this building. A lot of these things are avoidable. Even things as simple as, painting a building or doing other things and just providing some maintenance. So yes, was it avoidable? 100%.
It makes me wonder, were you probably one of the last engineers that looked at that building then before it collapsed and they just didn't heed your warning?
They not only did not heed my warning, but they did not hire me for anything else. They were up and coming for the 40-year recertification. And I wanted to do my company. We've done hundreds and hundreds of 40-year recertifications. I told them, let me do your 40-year recertification. But then they went ahead and they hired, I think there was a board change or something, a lot of drama going on within the board. And then they went ahead and hired a company called Morabito. A very good company. The engineers, and they're excellent engineering company. But they basically told them the same thing. They basically told them the same thing years later, saying you have a concrete problem, when at last they decided to actually do something about it. They saw that they got sticker shocked, but they agreed to say, we have to do something about it. And I think the same week or the week after they actually started that they pulled the permit is when the collapse happened.
Amazing. And I think that's one of the reasons that the Florida legislature took the action it did. And I use the term SERS. That's a term that I think condo owner associations are going to really get to know a lot about starting around January 1st when it kicks in. But reality, they should be looking and planning now to make sure that they don't get caught unprepared. Tell us what that's all about, if you could.
Well, let's start with the SERS inspection, because right now the Florida law requires that basically two inspections be done. Okay. Let's talk about the SERS, Sam, because you brought that up first.
Sure.
The Florida legislature, Senator Pizzo, they realized that it's at its basis, it's a money issue, right? It's a money issue. So they also knew that some condominiums or a lot of condominiums, if they don't have the money, they're just not going to perform the repairs. And I've been through so many times. I tell condo owners, look, just do this, and do this. And they don't do it because, oh, we don't have money. We have to put assessments and we're going to be very unpopular if there's assessments. I see it over and over and over again. So what the SERS does is that it requires, upon an engineer doing an inspection on the property, saying that you, for example, you have to spend $1 million on concrete repair. You have to spend another $1 million on another structural issue. You have to spend another $50,000 on the roof. So when the inspector says that and he puts it on a report, you divide it out into a certain number of years. That's going to give you on a yearly basis how much that condominium has to put an apport to a bank, to a piggy bank, or we call it a reserves, right, into that piggy bank. If and when this does happen, that you have to replace the roof, you have the money there, and you don't have to resort to all these loans and you know, payments that have to be made at the last minute, which are extremely unpopular. So what used to happen before is that the Florida law was set up in a way that did not require the boards and the people in charge to spend the money. You can have $1 million in the bank, and I've seen it firsthand. You can have $1 million in the bank where it says, okay, this is for concrete repair or for different issues, and the board just says, you know what, we need to change all the carpets out in the lobby. We need to do a renovation in the lobby that is just something that's beautiful, that's not something that can become a real life safety issue. So this law requires them to perform these have that money for when these repairs are required.
You know, I can imagine right about now at this point in the program, people are going, oh my goodness, we really need to get in touch with Greg. What is your contact information so that they can do that?
Well, all you have to do is go to my website, www.askgbatista.com. That's askgbatista.com, where I've written maybe 15 books about the milestone inspection, about the new laws, about the CERS inspections, about hiring an engineer, hiring a contractor, pulling permits, windows, doors, all, and they're all written specifically for residents and property managers. And it's in a non-technical language. I even wrote a book, a 200-page book called Averting Disaster at Your Building, Lessons Learned from the Champlain Towers, which is not only something that talks about my experience with Champlain Towers, but how to avoid this. And a lot of it has to do with maintenance. Now, all these books, they're for free on the website. You can download them. Even the big book, I was selling it at one time. 100% of the proceeds went to the Red Cross, who played a pivotal role in helping the families after the collapse. I don't make any money on any of these books. My thing is to educate people, like I've always done in this thing. And I think it's a timely thing to happen that this legislature has come down with these rules and laws. A lot of people are going to complain, but at the end of the day, it's all about the safety of the residents.
Well, as a national volunteer for the Red Cross, a national spokesperson volunteer, I want to say on behalf of Red Cross, thank you for that, because in time of disaster, they do step in. But I want to zero in a little bit more on your business. Your business covers South Florida, a large area, Palm Beaches, Broward, Miami-Dade, Hillsborough, Duval counties.
Well, it's funny because as soon as I graduated from college in 91 from structural engineering, I went to work for a company called Turner Construction, and I built with them several high rises and that dot the skyline of South Florida. Very proud. As every time I go by these, I see these, you know, big skyscrapers. I say, hey, I was a project manager for that one. And and I also did a couple of high rises with Moriarty of Florida, which just by chance was the building that Moriarty was building right next door to Champlain when it collapsed. But you know, I went from there at a world-class level of construction knowledge and experience to just doing construction, basically just focused on concrete repairs and doing structural repairs. So that's what I do now. It's my niche, and that's where I'm staying.
Now, you know, I'm going to put in a plug here because I think it's something that might be of interest to you. So my board of director hat for the Gold Coast Builders Association is on. And in just a few weeks, May 15th, I believe it is, we have the chief economist for the National Association of Home Builders, Dr. Robert Dietz, is coming to our area for a luncheon. He's going to be speaking to economic development directors and also members of several builders associations from the Treasure Coast down through Palm Beaches and North Broward. So that might be something, and I'll email you the information. It might be something to put on your calendar to get a different look at where we happen to be going in the construction industry, whether it be multi-story high-rise or single-family. So I'll send you that information. But
thank you.
Are you seeing the economy still sustaining our construction industry right now?
Well, right now, at this precise moment, you see construction everywhere. And it's great for the economy, the construction industry, and how much construction is going on is a great indicator of economic health for an area. And being in the industry, I'm very happy that all this activity is going on. But as anything else in life, it's a cycle. And it's just a matter of time when something catches up to us, whether it's, you know, people moving in, or whether it's the inflation or the banks, you know, or the banks raising interest rates. All those things come into play. So it's a matter of flux, and it's just a matter of time until, you know, everybody's crying again at the bottom of the curve. But for now, everybody's happy.
You know, earlier in the program, Greg, I told our audience that I'm going to have you back again for a future program. And they're probably going, well, wait, you've talked about engineering. You've chatted a little bit about construction. What else would there be to talk about? Well, you mentioned earlier that you're an author. You write books about different topics of interest to John Q. Public. I was a little surprised to hear that you're also an artist, and that's going to be probably one of the first topics that I talk about when you come back, because I want to know whose autograph is on your work. So once again, Greg, can you come back for a future program? We have a lot more that we want to talk about.
I absolutely will. Thank you for your time and having me on.
Absolutely. One thing that is curious, as I talk about all those different parts of Greg Battista, what do you do in downtime? What do you do for fun? Because all of those things, I can only imagine, take up a lot of time.
I am at my very fundamental, I am a creative person. I do a lot of creative stuff. And you just touched on some of the highlights of my creativity. I do all sorts of other things, but it's creation. I spend a lot of time, and you know, one of the reasons I'm here in Puerto Rico is my girlfriend. She's a very well-known relationship therapist and clinical sexologist here in Puerto Rico, and she's establishing her business. And I love helping people establish their business and coming up with, you know, different ideas on how to market it. I just love all that stuff. So when I'm in my downtime, I'm constantly creating. That's my fun. I don't fish. I don't watch sports. I don't golf. All these other things, you know, these guys do. But that's my thing. It's creating stuff.
Well, we learned something new today. And I'll put in the plug that should the girlfriend want to get a bit of exposure, and if she's willing to be a guest, we'll open the door for her to be a guest as well.
I'm sure she'd be thrilled. Thank you.
Greg Battista, CEO of G. Battista Engineering Construction. It has been my pleasure to have you here on the best news source in all of Florida, the Florida Business Forum podcast. And we are going to have you come back at some point in the near future, because we are that number one business source for news. We're filling a void. We have that creative bug that Greg was talking about, so we can't wait to have him back. And in the meantime, Greg, I want to thank you again personally for being here today.
Well, thank you for your time. Thanks for having me on. I look forward to our next conversations.
Awesome. Well, I'm your host, Sam Yates, with the Florida Business Forum podcast. And until our next episode, have a great day, everybody.
The Florida Business Forum is dedicated to showcasing Florida businesses and CEOs of all sorts to promote their business or not-for-profit in the only business forum of its type in Florida. Thanks for tuning in, and remember, have a great day, everyone, and stay tuned for more business.